We have the honor and the blessing to have Johnny Rowlett and Gail, his lovely wife, with us today. And most of you probably know Johnny, but there may be, raise your hand if you've never met him before or heard him preach or sing. There's one, yeah. Where's the one? Yeah. Okay, so Johnny's new to some of you, but he'll never be new to you again. He'll be your friend from now on. I know that because about 30 years ago, he spent most of his time in my house eating my food. And he came knocking on the door this morning wanting to eat again. So, you know, once you sit through a service with him, he's yours forever. He's your Valentine. Come on up, Johnny. I'll talk all day if you don't come do something. Yeah, give the Lord a hand for the gift of God in this man. Children can go to their special class.
Special class. Yeah. I feel like I need to go to a special class. Man, praise God.
This one's live. If something happens, you need to.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Man, it's such an honor for me to be back here this morning. It is, there's so much flooding through my mind and my heart this morning as I sit here. And I feel like the Lord's just kind of hitting on me this morning that we've just had the absolute best year of maybe my whole life. I might have just had the best year of my life. God is doing things in us that I never thought possible. I'm just being real and transparent about it. It's just been amazing. But I'm sitting here thinking, it is not my coming here to you to unload to you that's the blessing. The blessing is, I really feel like that we get to be here. You don't know, you may not know what you have here. I really don't know that you really can conceive it. It's so hard for me to say because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and I don't want to go too far, but you've got something so special here that really, I hope that you don't take it for granted. There's a presence here that I don't feel in other churches. It's very rare that I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit like I do in this church. I'm not saying there's no churches that have the Holy Spirit, but I'm saying a lot of churches that you walk into, it feels a little bit contrived. You really have to work at it. There's a better way to say it. You spend the first half hour doing certain kinds of praise calisthenics, if you will, to get people to let go of what's going on in their life and to focus solely on God. And there's something about this place that you walk in, the second you walk in, you're entered in. It's a presence here. I could almost see that this place needs to be open 24/7 because it's not just about the worship team. Although, let me just tell you, I honor you. I just wish that you fully conceived how amazing your gift and your team is. One of the best worshipers, one of the best talented, just anointed, powerful worship teams that we experience. I'm not just saying it. You know how many churches we go to in a year? I mean, just follow us. And it would be, wouldn't you agree, babe? I'm out here all by myself, but it's amazing what you got going on here. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me that this is something that we need to be here to start our year. Every year, the same way that we start our year being filled up to overflowing. And although I am ministering in the services, it's still the relationship that I have and the worship that you get and the anointing that you get when you get here is completely fulfilling in Him. Amen? I'm really excited, and I hope you all are too, and I hope you can just let go of your wall. I feel like God's got some really special things to serve up to you this morning, and especially also this evening. I'm really excited about this evening. But this morning I've got something that's more, if I can be real in it, I'm going to kind of move away from my show. Usually I have a pretty set show, if you will. I'm going to talk this thing, I say this, then I say this, and then I sing this, and I'm going to kind of move away from that this morning, and I'm just going to flow and let God just kind of minister life to all of us, including me and my wife. And I don't know about y'all, but I need it. And let me just say this, that as I was sitting there, I felt like the Holy Spirit was just kind of whispering in my ear to tell you, there's so many things he was saying. I felt like I was looking around for a pen at the time because I was just listening. I felt like I just needed to write stuff down. And a lot of things was what you said, that prophet, that was something that I felt like God was speaking into me. And then I got this real quick. I want to read this to you. My desire is to, this is something that I wrote. It's actually on my website. And I had forgotten all about it until what your prophecy was. Your word of knowledge is a better way to say it. And this kind of flows right into that. My desire is to challenge the body to cowboy up. That's my terminology that I like. And answer the call to be world changers. I believe it's the job of the praisers, those who can see that Jesus is king. That's a praiser. A praiser is someone that understands fully that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To proclaim him, God is looking for a people that will find themselves as part of the fulfillment of his prophecies. He's looking for those kind of people. We were born for this battle. You were born for this battle. Made for this generation. We were made to prosper and survive in the midst of this. Made to deal with the shifting and the shaking. God would not have allowed you to be born at this time if he didn't equip you to deal and overcome with in the midst of such a time as this. And let me just expand that. God would not have had you be born at this time had he not equipped you to deal with this time. But God would not have had you be born here. Sometimes it's about your surroundings. People's lives, let me just say this, and I hope y'all are going to stay with me for a minute. I'm going to get into some music. We're going to have some fun this morning. I'm going to get into a cool word that I feel like God has given me for this, such a time as this right this morning. But sometimes where your life is has, and the level that you're able to walk in and to receive has everything to do, not just with the spirit realm, but also where you were born. Where you live, where you reside, there's a reason that you're here. There's a reason. God would not have planned. There's people all over the world that are hindered by where they were born and where they are established. Are y'all following me on that? But yet somehow, and there's some people that place, that geology of where they are is actually a hindrance. But somehow, some way they're able to press through that supposed wall and make it the best life possible. And not only the best life possible, but thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth, right? So it's our responsibility to not let things limit us, to not say, well, Douglas, let me tell you, I feel like that Douglas is, I really feel what she was saying this morning is true. That Douglas will be an epicenter. There's something powerful that's going to happen in Douglas, Arizona. And that this is the core place, that it's core people that can say, for such a time as this. And then I want to say to you that this generation, these pastors will, I believe, well, I'm really stepping out here. I don't believe, I do, let me say this first. I do believe that we're living in end times. I'm not ignorant. It's easy to see that. But I don't believe that Jesus is coming back for a defeated, broke down, crying in a closet somewhere church. I believe that the word says that he's coming back for his church. And his church, I believe, will be a mighty, wildly successful, powerful, anointed church. Not just a few people hanging in a closet somewhere crying, please hurry to God and come back. That's not the way I see it. I believe that we are in store for maybe possibly the greatest revival of all time, of all time, of history of mankind. We are about, we're on the precipice of seeing that come to fruition. But it's not just some hyperbole to throw it out and spew it out of our mouths. It's something that you, it's you got to take an action in your life to say, I'm going to be a part of that. And I am choosing to step into that lava flow and have faith. And I'm choosing to step into what he wants to do. And I'm choosing to do it right here in Douglas. I want to tell you, your pastors don't have a desire to build this church alone. That's if we get things missed around, there's a lot of churches that I go to that their only desire is to build their church. I mean, that's just the truth. I believe that this pastor and pastor's wife, she's a pastor as well, their heart is to equip the saints. I really truly believe, yes, do we want this place to be filled to the rafters? Absolutely. Do we want excellence brought here? Absolutely. But why? The question is always the heart of the matter. The question is always the heart of the person. Your pastor's heart, their desire is to equip these people. Do you believe, come on, follow me right here. Do you believe with all of your heart that there's a word that is in their minds, in their hearts, in their spirit, that people in the city need to hear? I mean, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that there's something that God instilled in them that people all over this city have got to hear? Come on, I'm getting fired up, not because it's something so passionate on the inside of me. It's not, we're not trying to build this church. We don't need carpet just so we can say, oh, look how pretty the carpet is. We want this room with excellence because we're believing that through those doors are people that are coming in here, not just to get a nice little word, not just to come and hear good music and get their back patted and leave, but they're coming to be filled up, equipped, fulfilled, and walk back out that door and we see a revival in the city of Douglas and then all over the world. I really felt that this morning, that we're not trying to build a better worship team. We're not trying to build better carpet. We're trying to get the word out. It's the word that will change lives. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. I did not intend to say any of this. I'm so fired up this morning because I really feel like there's something. I'll be honest with you. Maybe even 2 years ago, I wouldn't have thought what is happening to me could happen. So sometimes when you're stuck in your limitation of what you think could happen, then you don't really, you have a hard time seeing the bigger picture. But then all of a sudden, when God starts blowing the doors off, things start happening. Things have happened to me this last year that I honestly never thought possible. I would not have even asked for it. That's the truth. There's things happening. People say, well, what's your vision? I'm so far beyond what my vision was, I can't tell you what I want to do. I can't tell you what God is going to do because I'm so far past where I thought I would be that I'm just kind of just sitting back, just going, what, I love your heart. That's me. God, I want to see more. I don't just want to come in and do music and pat people on the back. I want to see restoration of lives and families. And I want to see people fulfilled and filled up to overflowing and reach their city. And then the last thing I want to say to somebody, and I feel like this word that I'm going to preach this morning is going to go into that, is that don't quit doing well. Don't quit. There's a song that we used to sing all the time. let me see if I can remember. I can't remember. I'll remember in a minute. Don't stop doing. Don't quit doing well. Don't surrender in the fight. Keep on storming the gates of hell and keep on doing what you know is right. Hey, remember that? Y'all, I don't know if you remember that, but that's a word. Don't quit. Keep on pressing in. Amen. This song this morning, what I want to do is I do have a few songs that I'm so excited to share with you this morning. But let me just promise you that these songs are not just flippant songs. They're songs that I wrote, songs that mean something to me, songs that tell you who I am and tell you a little bit of my testimony. And I just want to kind of explain them and walk you through a couple of these songs. Y'all okay with that? Have a good time. I know I've been serious this morning. I am not usually a serious kind of guy, but I'm just really fired up this morning. Amen. Amen. So, this first song is, I'm just going to kind of go into this song. I don't know why, but, my dad, this is like my second dad. He's always, he's right. I go over to his house. I'm always over at Bobby's house and eating their food. And she made the best biscuits and chocolate gravy on the planet. And last time I was here, I had some and I broke my tooth. Remember that? I don't think it was your biscuit though. I think it was my tooth, but, but anyhow, long story short, my dad and Calvin were good friends, and my dad's a car guy. My dad is the ultimate car guy, has car dealerships, run car dealerships. And now even in his retirement, what he likes to do is go buy old hot rods, fix them up, and he sells them. And that's kind of something he likes to do. If not just that, he just likes to tinker with old cars. That's what he likes to do. So the problem is he's a Chevy guy, right? That's what he likes, is Chevy. He likes all Chevy cars. And one day he bought himself a Ford Mustang. A 1965 Ford Mustang, and he got into that thing and realized he hates Ford Mustangs. I guess they're not really fun to work on. I think that's the biggest thing. And so he called me up and he said, Johnny, would you mind, because he was leasing this big hot rod shop. He said, would you mind I'm getting out of this thing. I don't want to do this no more. And I got this stupid 1965 Mustang that I just need to get out of my shop. He said, could you come down and help me restore this Mustang? Well, let me tell you something. That is about the biggest honor of anything he could have ever asked me to do, is for me to come help him work on cars. Because all my life, the only thing that I ever did helping my dad was things like this. I don't know if you ever did this, but hand me a box in 916s or open in rants, or hand me this, or just, and then if I couldn't find it, it was always, if I get up from here and I find that 916, it's in the top box on the left. If you can't find it, I'm going to throw it at you. You know, one of those kind of things. So regardless, it was the greatest thing for me at all was to work on this car with my dad. We worked a solid month on this 1965 Mustang from the bottom to the top all day long. Every day we worked on this car. Gail got in there. She worked her fingers to the bone almost. I mean, worked so hard, knuckle scrape. We worked hard on that car. And when we were pulling that car out of the garage and the sun hit that thing, I saw me in that car. I saw that. What that car had, the process that car had just gone through was very familiar to me. That God did a lot of taking out the old and putting in the new in me. He did a lot of elbow work with me. He took a lot of time with me. Here's the thing about it is I saw such a perfect reflection of what the process of restoration in my life I saw in that Mustang. But here's the thing. The first thing you realize is the process of restoration is exactly that. It's a process. It takes time. It takes work, right? But here's the beautiful part. It's worth it. It's worth it. When that car pulled out of that garage, I saw that car had more value to it then, at that point, than probably in its entire history, since the moment it pulled off the Detroit, Michigan line, it's got more value now than ever before. Why? Because it's been through the fire. It's been through a process, and it's been restored. It's probably worth probably 50 times more than it was back then, right? So anyhow, we got done. I wrote this song. It's called "The Mustang Is Gonna Run." Oh yeah, come on, anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Cool. That's country right there. Through the darks and the greens and the what? I just messed up my own song. All that darks and the greens. What's that mean? What? How did that even happen? I don't ever mess a song up. And now, here it is. Go ahead. How about a hand for my DJ over there, right there? She's awesome. Good job, baby. Through the dust and the grime and the dirt and time, you see all the miles and years. The pain is faded, it barely made, it could bring a man to tears. Well, the dents and the dings and the rusty rings hide what she used to be. She may be nothing but junk to you, but she sure looks good to me. Well, the tires are flat, suspension's jacked from the rough roads in her past. Yeah, the motor's blown cause the rods are thrown, but she used to be so fast. All the cracks and the spits and the windshield chips make it really hard to see. She may be nothing but junk to you, but she means the world to me. This tire horn may be broken, and you think her life is done. More. One day I know she'll be restored. And partner, that old Mustang's gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang's gonna run. Listen, this ain't what she was created for, what she was supposed to be. With some love and restoration, she will finally be free. Tired horse, oh, maybe broken, and you think her life is done. Oh, but me, I see so much more. One day I know she'll be restored, and partner, that old Mustang's gonna run. Oh, and someday that Mustang's gonna run. Hey! Praise God, but I was writing this song. I just wanted everybody to know this song's not really about a car. This song's about me. This song's about what God did in my life. That He never quit on me. That He gave me a ministry of restoration. That He rebuilt me, restored me, renewed me. And I'm a brand new man. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Woo! So I wrote this last verse. Listen to this. I'm withered and worn, tattered and torn from the miles and the years. My heart was jaded, my mind was faded, I shed a lot of tears. With the scars and the pain and the guilt and shame show who I used to be. Well, I may look like a mess to you, but He's still got plans for me. This tired horse may be broken, and you think my life is done. Oh, but in me He sees so much more. One day I know I'll be restored. And partner, this old Mustang's gonna run. Oh, and someday this Mustang's gonna run. Hey! Come on and watch me. He's in the restoration business, I promise you. Woo! Oh yeah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I have this song that So let me just kind of take a step back. Well, a lot of years ago when I was doing this the first time, I'm not saying that I was a bad person. I'm not saying I think sometimes I just got my focus on the wrong things. Sometimes there's good ideas and there's God ideas, right? And when I was doing this in the 90s, I really feel like that looking back, I didn't see it obviously in the middle of it, but looking back, I could see that my priorities and my focus were on the wrong things. And one of those things were to be known. I wanted to have hit songs. I wanted to have hit records. I wanted to be played on radio stations. I wanted to do this with all of my heart. And it's funny to me that after God pulled me out of that garage and put me back on the highway, right? My focus was, I told Gail at the time, I have no desire. We will not be in the music business. Our responsibility, my mind, our hearts are to be in the ministry. And we want to go and spread the message, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, we want to tell people that there's hope. That God is a restoring God. And that you are not too far gone from God. No matter what you feel like, no matter how far you feel like. And let me just tell you this, your friends, your family, people right outside these doors are not too far gone from God. It's not too late. If it ain't too late for me, brother, it ain't too late for anybody. I'm as old as this carpet. So in that process, what's really cool about it is we started doing this, and then God started giving me all these songs to write in. And it just, I wish that y'all could see my heart, how amazed I was at these songs. And then songs started getting picked up by radio stations, and radio stations started calling me and wanting me to do interviews, and our bookings started going crazy. And then I find out that one of my songs just hit, is in right now, currently, is the number one song in this country right now. That's a God thing, because that isn't even something I was even looking for. It's funny that back in the day, when that's what I cared about, it eluded me. And now when that's not at all what I care about, that's like God saying, here, let me just do this for you. Because that's right. Let me show you what I can do. You just stay focused on me, and I'll take care of all this other stuff. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added to you. And that's what's going on. All that stuff that I tried so hard in my own might is all happening. And all I'm doing is just back. Here's what it is. I stand before you this morning as a grateful, broken, in love with God man. And that's all that I am. And everything else that happens is just him. He's given me a beautiful, amazing wife. Happy Valentine's Day, Gail. I love you. She hates it when I embarrass her, but it's Valentine's Day. That's my job. And so anyhow, I wrote this song, and this is the number one song. And I think what's so cool about it, this is not what I would consider a radio song. This is not what I would consider I would never have thought this would be a number one song. It's crazy to me. But it's the truth. The song is called The Truth. And where this song comes from is when I started to step back into ministry, when my pastor was pulling on me, when Gail was pulling on me, I had a lot of haters out there, and including the number one hater of me was me. I was the number one hater, the number one doubter, never thought this stuff could happen, right? And so when I started writing this song, I'd get people, including my own head, who do you think you are? Why would you do this? And do you think it's time? Do you really think that it should be Johnny Rowlett? Do you think didn't you do this and didn't you do that and didn't you mess up this and mess up that? And for a long time, I would be so ashamed of that I would back up from those conversations and kind of hide out. There just came a time when one day that I just feel like that I stepped into it and thought, you know what? If he loves me enough to forgive me, then I need to walk in that forgiveness. And I need to stop focusing on what I did wrong and start focusing on what he did right. And start focusing on the truth. The truth is not defined by my past. The truth is not defined by my mistakes. The only truth that I'm defined by is that he loved me so much that he sent his son, his only son, to shed his innocent blood because he loved me. And that's the truth.
Well, it's true, I have things in my past, and I don't like to look at all the scars that I have. Well, it's true, I was a friend to the bottle, headed through the crossroads with my foot on the throttle. Yeah, it's true. Well, it's true. But the truth is nailed to the cross. It's the way to get to heaven, and it's a life for the lost. Oh, the truth is written in the book. And it'll beat back the devil like a stiff right hook. Hey, that's the truth. Thank you, Jesus. Well, now it's true. I was blinded by the neon, trapped on a bar stool that I was never even meant to be on. Well, it's true. At times I was a rebel. I fell into a pit of despair, locked eyes with the devil. Yeah, it's true. Hey, it's true. Oh, but the truth is nailed to the cross. It's the only way to heaven, and it's life for the lost. Oh, the truth is written in his book. Oh, and it'll break the plans of the devil and restore what he took. This is part right here. Well, I have a love and I have a loss. Yeah, I've treated my heart all to a cold winter's frost. But he came in, oh, and the sun set me free. And he melted all the hurt, and he gave me eternal peace. The truth is nailed to the cross, and it's the only way to heaven, and it's life when you're lost. Oh, the truth is written in his book, and it'll break the plans of the devil and restore what he took. That's the truth. Oh, that's the truth. Hey, that's the truth. Yeah. Praise God, that's the truth. That's the only truth. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to kind of press right into this song here. This is a song. When I came through this process, and that's what my scripture is going to be based on. When you come through a thing, not if you come through, but when you come through a thing, your job is to go encourage someone else. And it's almost amazing to me that I almost get to the point where I don't trust somebody unless they've been through something. Because you don't really know what you're talking about until you've been through the restoration. Until you've been through. I do honor people who've lived their life holy unto God. Praise God. That's awesome. But I really lean on people that I know you've been through the fire. You've been through that restoration process, right? And so saying that, it also gives you a heart for those who've been through something. And I can see it on people. I can. It's amazing. When somebody walks up to me, I can see past all your baloney. I can see all past your religiosity. I can see past all of your little, what's the word? The Christianese. Hello, brother. How are you? Oh, I'm blessed and highly flavored. Oh, are you really? Are you really? Are you really? Because what I see is that just below the surface, you're struggling. And I feel like you're struggling with this or with this. And you know what? I want you to know that this place right here, this place that we call Faith Ministries, this place that we call the house of God, this place is a place where you can bring that thing that you're dealing with that's just below the surface. That's where you should be able to safely, securely bring it to your pastor and know that you know that you know that we're gonna beat this thing. And we're gonna deal with it. We're gonna get down, not deal with it with spurs, not beat you down, but in love, in an arena of love, this thing is gonna be dealt with in the name of Jesus, and you are gonna be set free. There's no better place to be than free. So I wrote this song based on that, just from the eyes of the restoration through the eyes of someone else. It's called He's the God of Restoration, and I hope this ministers to you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you, Lord, for your anointing, Father, that your presence is here, Father, and that you will minister life right now to somebody who is struggling with something. She does her best to hide the truth, but I can see it in her eyes. She smiles at the strangers passing by, but she's sick of all the lies. Wounded hearts and broken dreams are easy to disguise. She works so hard to push them down and bury them inside. But he's the God of restoration, and he's the God of hope, and he's the one who heals the broken and mends a wounded soul. If only you could understand the love he has for you. He's reaching out, so grab his hand and see your life renewed. Well, it's the same old story. Oh, I've seen it all before. You feel all of your hope is lost, and there's gotta be something more. So dry your eyes and wipe the tears that are falling down your face. He knows your pain, He's by your side with His open arms of grace. He's a God of restoration, and He's a God of hope, and He's the one who heals a broken and mends a wounded soul. If only you could understand the love He has for you. He's reaching out, so grab His hand and see your life renew. Yeah, yeah. Oh, so lift your head and see the one that wants to rescue you. It doesn't matter where you are or what you've been through, 'cause He's a God of restoration, and He's a God of hope, and He's the one who heals the broken and mends a wounded soul. If only you can understand the love He has for you. He's reaching out, just grab His hand and see your life renew. Yeah, yeah. See your life renew. Yeah, yeah. He's a God of restoration. I promise you, just reach out and grab His hands. Amen. Amen. I'm going to walk right into what I feel like the Lord just is wanting to say to someone here, but also I feel like it kind of works two ways. It's a word to minister to someone's heart here that's just been kind of finding yourself. There's, that is the best ring. That sounds like old Western's ring, right? It's okay. It's okay. I feel like there's, first of all, I feel like part of the song, I mean, this message goes to the body. It's a thing that we receive as a body. But also, I feel like this is a message to somebody who feels like giving up. See, giving up doesn't happen overnight. Giving up isn't a place that you just wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to give up today. Giving up is acquired through time. And giving up is acquired through deception, to being deceived, to think that you should give up. And it starts with, you may not think about giving up, but you may just feel like that you can feel your feet are in the sludge. You don't feel like you're getting nowhere. You don't feel like you're accomplishing anything. You don't feel like you're being what God has called you to be. And you just feel like you're in the muck and the mire. This word is for you. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Father, I just thank You for Your word this morning. I thank You that Your word is true no matter what. It's in season and out of season. Father, it's always prepared to minister life. And Lord, I thank You that someone here this morning, well, their life will be changed forever by Your word. I titled this word. This word really, the core of this word really came from my pastor. And it's this. So I titled this, Keep Walking. Keep Walking. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 2, verse 41 through 49. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went to Jerusalem according to the custom
of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now it was that after 3 days, I feel like this is something my pastor said real quick. He said, it's amazing to me that they walked away from, they went a 1 day's journey. It's amazing. Oh, this is prophetic. Think of this. It's amazing that 1 day turning away from God, it'll take you 3 days to get back to him sometimes. One poor choice, one deceived action in your life can take you further than what you think that you could have sustained. Just receive that. Because it took him 3 days to get back from a 1 day journey. And they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Son, and this is what Mary says, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And this is the verse. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Keep walking. Let's look over to Luke 22 real quick. This won't be a long message. I'm just going to get this in your spirit and believe God is going to just grow it. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Are y'all there? Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. So here's the ministry of Jesus. We see Jesus at the beginning of ministry. His ministry is to go about his father's business, right? His father's business. And the word is part of, there's threefold parts of Jesus' ministry. And one of my favorite parts is to restore, to heal lives, to heal the brokenhearted, to restore lives. And the best way I can explain it, if you took a china cup and you shattered it on the floor and it goes into 1,000 pieces, you could spend a century with super glue trying to put that back together again, and it's never going to be the same. But my father can reach down to that broken china and mend it and heal it and restore it and renew it like it was never broken in the first place. That's his ministry. That's the father's business. So Jesus says, he's saying to the disciples, can you just walk with me for a minute, okay? Jesus is saying to his disciples, he's going and looking for disciples later on in his ministry. He's looking for those that will follow him. Follow him. He says, I need you to follow me. Do you have following in you? That's what he's looking for. He's looking for followers to make sure that they have following in them. Okay, and he says, so the obvious question, when he asks that question, can you follow me? The obvious question is, where are we going? But I love what Jesus does here is he says, in essence, what Jesus, he doesn't tell them where he's going. In essence, he's saying, you're really not ready. You just answer me. Do you have following in you? Because if you fully got the whole picture of what we're about to go through, you won't follow me now. Jesus has a real humorous way of going about things. What he does is he brings you out. He brings you out further and further and further until you get about right here where it's too late to turn around and go back. starts revealing to you what he's doing, right? Because what he wants to know over here, look, if I told you that you were going to see 5,000 people fed with loaves and fish of such small quantity, would you believe that even? If I told you that up front, would you even believe that that was possible? Would you believe that you will see dead people raised? Would you believe that all the miracles and would you even believe that that's even possible? Over here, no, you wouldn't. So you know what? I just want to know if you got following in you. Would you still follow me when you knew what was on the other side of this thing? That it was going to get hard. No. So just all I want to know is just follow me. Just follow me. The prerequisite is following, not understanding. The prerequisite to be a servant of Jesus Christ is to be a follower. You don't need to understand everything that he's going to do. You just need to follow. Oh, Lord. See, what Jesus says is, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I got you too far invested to go back. Then I'm going to start telling you piece by piece. Dead men raised. Think of all the stuff that he did. Think of he had to go through the process. You got to go through the process to get the whole picture. All I want to know is, do you have following you? Can you walk? Can you walk with me? Can you walk with me through thick and thin? Can you stay with me? Will you stay following? Can you walk with me? If you're going to follow me, you're going to need to learn how to keep on walking. Just keep on walking. You ever notice that in Scripture, God, that's one of God's secret little recipes that he uses, little secret agent that he does. He uses walking all throughout the Word. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed at what you can accomplish in life if you'll just keep on walking. Just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. Whew. Tears coming down out of your face, being frustrated with life. Life can be frustrating, but you'd be amazed at what you can do if you just don't quit. Just keep on walking. Just keep on pressing. Just keep on trusting. Just keep on serving. Don't stop along the way. So God has these little nuances that he used, teaching tools that he used for walking all throughout the Word. Remember the fiery furnace? They said, we see three men in the furnace and they're walking. Remember that part? David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Even when Jesus, God brings out the people, his people, and Moses brings them out. He brings them out of Egypt with all their possessions. He brings them out of Egypt, and in the middle of them walking into their promised land, which was already promised to them, already given to them, they start complaining and whining and griping. And so God says, okay, then just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. Can you imagine going to that church? The church of Moses, right? Hey, how long we got to do this walking? I'm not telling you. 40 years. Just keep on walking. The kids of that generation, of those generations, learned. They grew up in a church of walkers. They grew up walking. It was a walking church. The services, what kind of service you got? We got a walking service. How long are we gonna keep on walking? How long is service? 40 years, right? I mean, the whole generation of walkers. So it's amazing to me how God, He taught them to be walkers so that when they finally entered into the promised land, they came across their first battle, the battle of what? Jericho. And he says, you know what? I'm going to use what you thought was your greatest defeat. having to walk in the desert for 40 years, I'm going to use that gift that I gave you for 40 years, that thing that I taught you to do, I'm going to use that to defeat Jericho. So what I want you to do is I want you to walk around it. I want you to walk around it. Just keep walking around it. Walking is the powerful thing. The Bible says I walk by faith, right? Not by sight. So when he comes now to Peter, they're in the room for the Last Supper right here, right? Come on, paint a picture with me. They're in this room, and Jesus already knows that Judas is about to cut him. He already knows that he's already lost Judas. I believe, theologically, that Jesus knew he lost Judas long time before. He knew he lost Judas when Judas complained about the money and where the money was going, because he knew he didn't have his heart. So when they're in this room having the Last Supper, Jesus makes a point to go over and sit with Peter. And Peter's an important, crucial piece to the whole group of puzzle. Peter is the one that holds the keys. So Jesus goes to Peter and says, hey, Peter. And he almost has to say it twice. Like, Peter, let me get your attention here, Peter. Satan wishes to sift you like wheat. He's not telling him this in some, he's telling this out of love. He's warning him. He's warning him. Hey, listen, I already lost Judas. I don't want to lose you. You hold the keys to this, man. You're going to be the main guy. You're going to be the main point. And Satan wishes to sift you like wheat. Sifting in the word is to shake and to toss to and fro. It's not a fun process to be sifted. And he's almost saying, hey, Peter, can you walk with me? No matter what happens, Peter, can you walk with me? Are you gonna run like the others are gonna run? Are you going to walk with me, or are you going to give up on me like everybody else is going to give up on me? He's that kind of relationship, that kind of bonding that's happening right there. So he's saying to him, Satan wishes to sift you like wheat. And here's the key. He says, but my favorite, every scripture that ever ends up with something good starts with a but. But I have prayed for you, Jesus says. I have prayed for you. Let's read that scripture. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Are you going to keep on walking? I have prayed for you that you won't stop walking. I have prayed for you that you won't give up. I've prayed for you that you won't quit on this journey. I've prayed for you that you just keep on walking. No matter what the sifting looks like, no matter what the sifting feels like, no matter being a ship pulled here to and fro, no matter what hurricane hits your life, no matter what your circumstances tell you, no matter what your unbelief tells you, are you going to keep on walking with me, Peter? For I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And this is my favorite part. And when you come through it, not if you come through it, but when you come through it, when you come, you're going to come through this thing. But guess what? You're going to come through it if you'll just keep walking. That's the thing, is that this sifting process can be destructive. But the only way that it can steal you, to rob you, is to get you to quit. If you'll just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. For when you have come through this, when you have returned to me. Let me just back this up. Where's Jesus at right now? Right hand of the Father. And what's he doing daily for us? Interceding, praying for us, that when you come through it, not if, when. That's right. He's going to get his prayers answered. He knows somebody. Oh. So here's the key. This is the final. I'm kind of cutting this short just because I want to be short on. I want to be out of here and get some of these snacks in. But I want us to come back tonight because I feel like this is just a little dinner appetizer. I really feel like there's something powerful that God's given me to share with y'all tonight. What I'm wanting to do is tap into what the Holy Spirit was saying to me to tell you to keep on walking. Keep on walking. And here's the most powerful part. I would say that this is the whole reason that Gail and I do what we do. Is because there's a charge at the end of this. When you come through this, not if you come through this, but when you come through this, go encourage your brothers. There's a charge to this. It's not for you to have come through this thing and then just to keep it to yourself. You've got something on you now. You've been through something. You can help somebody. You can't help somebody. You can't. Okay, let me tell you something. Somebody who's going through an addiction right now, when you come through this, you can go help somebody else that's having an addiction problem. But you can't. I'll tell you what. Somebody that's never had an alcohol problem or a pornography problem or you can't come talk to me because you don't know what you're talking about because you never been through something. You never been through that. So how are you going to talk about it? But brother, you put me with somebody who's been through that thing, come on the other side of that deal. My ear is tuned to them because they kept on walking. They didn't quit. They didn't give up. That's what I want to hear. So then he says, then go and encourage your brothers. Go and encourage. Let me just say this. You can't stop sifting. Sifting happens. It does. People get sifted. There's somebody in here today that's on a good roll. Things are going really well for you. And somewhere in the same room, somebody is being sifted right now. The point is not whether you get sifted or not. The point is whether you quit walking or not. Keep on walking. Keep on walking. Keep on following. Keep on serving. Keep on trusting. And then when you come through it, now you're like a weapon in the hands of the kingdom of God. You're the weapon in his hands because now you have something to say. Now you've got a story. Now you've been through something. Don't keep it inside of you. Go tell somebody else because everywhere you go tomorrow, Walmart, Kmart, whatever stores are here in Douglas, you're going to come across people that are being sifted and have no way of knowing how to get out of it. No hope for a future. And you are that light. You are that truth. You are that story. To keep on, keep on, keep on walking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to finish with this right here. Strengthen your brother. That's the ministry of this church. I just want you to hear this from my heart. That is why you come here, to be filled up, to learn to follow, to learn the truth and let the truth set you free, and then go strengthen your brother. You can only minister in proportion to your conversion. Conversion is a result of sifting. Shifting is the result of potential. Manage the potential to manage your shifting by hanging on to your faith. I don't have any pills to give you this morning. I don't have anything to make your life any better this morning except the word. And the word says to Peter. Okay, so let's just paint this last picture. We know that right after this, what happens? He did deny Jesus. Let's get the bigger picture here. What happens is they come arrest Jesus. Judas turns Jesus in. They come arrest Jesus, and they're beating and torturing him. And Peter denies Jesus 3 times. But you know what? Oh, I don't know if you've ever seen this before. This is the most powerful part of it. Peter was the only one who followed Jesus. He was the only... When they came and arrested Jesus, everyone ran. Every one of those people ran out of the forest screaming, trying to get away because of their own fears and doubts. Peter followed. Now, Peter still messed up in that following. He was sifted. He was sifted. He was asked. But you can only be asked by people, aren't you one of those people, if you're standing right there where Jesus was. The others weren't asked that question. Why? Because they're all by a tree out in the middle of the woods somewhere. Peter is standing right there. You go through things. You will be sifted. Just don't stop following him. Don't quit on him. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on your wife. Don't quit on your husband. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit on this church. Don't quit on your pastors. Don't quit on Jesus. Keep on following him. Keep on following him. That's all I got to say this morning. God bless y'all. Please come back tonight. Please tell your friends. I've got a message. I'm just going to tap you into what I think the message is going to be tonight. The message tonight is a Valentine's message about the heart of God. The message tonight is about your heart. Let me just kind of give you a little glimpse of what I feel like. It's the message that changed my life, that I finally saw the peace. Okay, let me just say this, and I'll be done, okay? I'm a gracist. I'm somebody who believes in the grace and mercy of God. But when they talk about extreme grace, and they talk about there's people out there that believe that you can do anything you want to do because you've already been forgiven for that. I don't believe that. But I don't believe that's really what the grace message really says in the first place. I don't think that's what it says. And I believe that God has given me the link between the message of grace and how to walk it out in truth. I really believe God has given me a message that connects the message of grace and how to walk the grace message out in truth and make it a part of your life and make it a heart condition. Grace is a gift that's given to us. And it's a matter of the heart and how we get it out of here into here. A heart after God would not say, I could do whatever I want to do. A heart after God says, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. And I want to live my life grateful. And that's what God has given me for the message tonight. Come out tonight. We'll have a great time. I just feel like that. Pastor, I want to hand it back to you, but I really feel like there's somebody here that is just really struggling with the thought of giving up, backing up. And I promise you, the word promises us that we don't have to be the old man. That we get to be a new creation. And but our circumstances want to tie us down to our past. Our lies in our own head, the self-hatred that we carry, want to make us feel like we are trash and that we'll never amount to nothing. And it's not the words necessarily of just other people. It's what's been planted into our garden, and it's what's even we say about ourselves. The worst part of addiction is not what is actual true. It's what you think about yourself that destroys you. And what I want to say to you this morning is that the voice for someone, I don't know who it is, the voice that's in your head telling you to quit, telling you that you're trash, telling that you'll never amount to nothing, telling you that you'll always be addicted to that, that voice in your head is not from God. It's a lie from the pit of hell. The word says that he adores you and he loves you. And though you be sifted, he's praying for you. Right now, as we sit here, the Holy Spirit is drawing on your heart right now to say, I see you. I see you. And I love you. And I love you more than you love yourself. And I've already forgiven you, but you need to receive it. You need to receive my love. And you need to receive my mercy. And you need to receive my grace. And that's a word for someone in here this morning. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. I know it's somebody. I see that hand. Is there another one? I don't want to call anybody out, but I feel like I'm about to. Not to embarrass you, but I just feel like it's God pushing on my heart to speak a word to you of life. Let me pray for you first. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, I thank you, Father, that your word is more true than our fears. Your word is more true than our mistakes. Your word is more true than our past. Your word is more true than our sifting. Your word is life and light. And Father, we thank you right now that we can receive forgiveness. We can receive mercy. We receive grace and we walk in that and we will shed it off of us. Father, I speak to your mind in the name of Jesus. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. He's forgiven you a long time ago. Turn it over to him. Forgive yourself and now walk in his forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, I speak life to you. Life, life, life to you. You are not your mistakes. You are not your past. You are his word walking on this earth. You are his righteousness walking on this earth. You are his mercy. You are his grace. You are his passion walking on this earth. I speak to you, young lady. Don't quit walking. Don't quit walking. Don't let them win. Someone's pulling on you. Someone's trying to pull you down, trying to destroy your life right now. And the word is in my heart to tell you, don't pick your head up and look at him and only him. He's a beacon of hope, a beacon of light, and he wants you to raise your face up and only focus on him. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Stop believing those people. Stop believing in the voices that even in your head, the things that says you lay there at night and you don't see yourself as this, or you see yourself bad, or you don't see yourself that you could ever have anything good. God is saying, you are my majesty here on this earth. I created you. I breathe life into you. You won't let nobody destroy the life that I breathed into you. You are his love. You are his passion. And nobody has the right to tear you down. I feel like the Holy Spirit's just saying to me that He loves you. He loves you. And this, whatever this has been, it's over. It's over. He says, come on home. Just come home. Come home. It's over. Lay it all down. I don't know you, but I know your heart. And I feel like God brought you here for just a perfect reason, just for today. That He wants to just speak and just breathe life into you. Breathe love to you. And what you need to do right now is get it from your thinker to your knower. 18 inches. Just say, just begin to say over and over, I love you, Lord. And then I even think this. Say, He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Just as you are. Just as you are. Just as you are. If you receive that, if you receive that grace, if you receive that love, then He wants to flood in. And He'll restore all that. He'll take care of the sifting. And then when you come through this thing, when you come through it, boy, God's going to use you big. He's going to use you big. Can I ask you a question? I know it's in front of people, but I don't care. We're just being me and you bold right here. Are you born again? Are you born again? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Perfect. See, the enemy would want you to think that somehow you even lost that. That's a lie. I remember for me, I was in a bar. I was a bouncer at a bar. And so mad and angry at people and God. And I'm standing in this bar, and the worst thing that could happen came true was that He, in the bar, started loving me. I started feeling Him touching my heart in a bar. And I realized I was kind of almost mad at Him. Dude, leave me alone. I'm trying to run from you. And He's just steady, whispering in my ear, loving me. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna do this song. That I feel like I should do this song. There was an old man. How the story comes to fruition? What's your name? Elizabeth. I don't know your story, and I don't know if I may be way off of here. I'm just being obedient to God. As I was sitting in this bar, standing there, I was a bouncer. And I was not the guy that you see today. I was a very mean, angry guy. And I'm standing up against the wall, and I see this old man sitting in the corner peeling his label off his bottle. And he's been sitting there for like a week. He'd come in every day and just read. He's just like, look at the bottle. And that's all he would focus on is the bottle. And as I'm standing there, mad, I started feeling the Holy Spirit to tell me to go tell him that Jesus loves him. I was mad at God for telling me to. I'm like, I'm just trying to be a bartender. I'm trying to be a bouncer. Just leave me alone. But I could feel Him tugging at my heart. And that's why you're here this morning. Because He's tugging. And when Jesus is tugging, He don't quit tugging. Even in your different circumstances. So we have this song. It's called If the Bottle Was a Bible. Thank y'all for being here this morning. Thank you for allowing me to be here with you, listeners. Well, I've worked here for 2 years, and that old man lives in here, drinks all night, peels off all the labels. Well, I sit back and watch him go as he lines them all up in a row, side by side, to sit them all on his table. Well, I bet he's memorized those words printed on the side, 'cause God knows that man has read those lines 1,000 times. Oh, imagine what he'd know if the bottle was a Bible. How much would his life change? Well, I bet he's drained the
River Jordan, his flesh is weaker, all than what they're pouring. Oh, and right there in that bar, they'd have revival if the bottle was a Bible. Well, he'd hold the answers in his hand, be the prophet to a drinking man. In a haze of neon lights and tortured souls, but for him it's gin and misery, hanging on her dying memory, since he laid her in that field of granite stone. Tempting fruit is best left on the vine, 'cause he'd probably turn the water into wine. Yeah, but he's drained the River Jordan, his flesh is weaker, all than what they're pouring. Yeah, right there in that bar, they'd hold revival if the bottle was a Bible. Well, right there in that bar, they'd hold revival if the bottle was a Bible. Because the truth is more important than your circumstances, and the truth will set you free. God bless you. God bless y'all. Thanks for having me this morning. Please bring somebody tonight. Let's have revival right here in Douglas, Arizona. God bless y'all. Thank you for having me. Happy Valentine's Day too.
Hallelujah. That was an awesome, awesome word of God. Amen. Just a blessing, blessing. Thank you, Johnny. And we are blessed. And Lord, we just thank you for this time in your presence this morning, for hearing your word, so powerful. Lord, we just thank you for your blessing upon every person that's in here today, that you will go with them and that your presence will go with them and hover over them and move them and draw them. And let us all go out with a greater hunger today for you. Amen, Jesus. Well, we'll see you back here tonight, 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a better time tonight than we had this morning. Amen. God bless you.